Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com and this study in James chapter 5, verse 7, titled The Former and Latter Rains. I'm Pastor Greg, and I want to thank you for joining us, and I welcome email to be sent to us at BBFOhio@protonmail.com or letters that you can send addressing those to Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. If you do send a check or money order donation, please address that to Bible Believers Fellowship. You can also contact us and donate on our website, bbfohio.com. And now we begin with the current events update and then our study in James chapter 5, verse 7, The Former and Latter Rains. This is part 1 of 2. Current events update brought to you by the color orange. Me and Charlie and Bronwyn, anyway, got the orange going on. Well, she took her jacket off there. Headline reviews in the news. Number one, the Biden administration continues its anti-Israel push. Will the U.S. deny Israel sovereignty over Jerusalem by reopening consulate for Palestinians? That's where they're going. The Biden administration wants to reopen a consulate for Palestinian affairs in Jerusalem as part of its efforts to reverse former U.S. President Donald Trump's policies and achievements. You can thank people like John Piper, Russell Moore, and others like that among Christians who helped Joe Biden win by getting enough votes so that he could cheat and win the presidency. Some of our useless evangelical leaders are as responsible for what's going on as anybody. Trump subsumed the consulate into the U.S. Embassy when he moved it from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem in 2018, a move that was hailed by every friend of Israel, and that finally fulfilled the Jerusalem Embassy Act of 1995. Ever since 1995, every president we've had has been a liar. Every single one of them on both parties running for president got up and told everybody, if you elect me, I will move the embassy to Jerusalem. And they all lied except for Donald Trump.
That's right.
The Biden administration's plan, however, would divide the United Capital of Jerusalem and push any chance for peace with Palestinians further away, as well as break diplomatic norms, violate U.S. law, and damage America's special relationship with Israel. This administration doesn't care about Israel. They don't care about U.S. law. The mandatory vaccinations and lockdowns and all that has been anti-constitutional, illegal acts on the part of your government. So that's what we have. Harming Israel will always result in harm to America in ways we don't even always understand. But Genesis 12:3 promises, and I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. All the nations will eventually suffer severe consequences for dividing the land. That's in Joel 3:2. I will also gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat and will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. So anytime anybody's parting the land of Israel or trying to force Israel to sign land for peace deals, they are antichrist. We urge believers to get and read this book. We have a copy in the library you can read for free here. I got a copy for about $4, $4 or $5 on thriftbooks.com. Abe Books, I think, sells them. You can get them used. They're in very good condition. As America has done to Israel, the result, massive national disasters. That's the full title of that book. And it documents it, and it's amazing. It's John P. McTernan is the author. And it's a book every Christian, every Bible-believing Christian should read. And we have this free resource available. If you go to our website, you can go to sermonaudio.com. Website and look up The Land Belongs to Israel, and it's a two-part message. Or you can just go to bbfohio.com and you scroll down to the bottom of the page and you'll see all of the different playlists. And among them is one just titled Israel. And you click to watch or listen and it'll take you to a playlist. And you've got, I think it's 4 or 5 hours of teaching in about, they're all in 30-minute segments on Israel and the land of Israel. Number two, following science is becoming downright impossible for sane people. Every time they say follow the science and you hear what they say, you're like, that's not science. That's idiocy. Well, brace yourselves. Popular astronomers suggest aliens, not God, created the universe out of nothing. This is not an astronomer who, you know, is stuck out on the mountain somewhere and no one knows of. This is astronomer Avi Leib. He's the former chair. He served from 2011 to 2020 of the astronomy department at Harvard. That's him there. My favorite Martian. This is a quote. A less explored possibility, Leib writes, is that our universe was created in the laboratory of an advanced technological civilization. Since our universe has a flat geometry with a zero net energy, an advanced civilization could have developed a technology that created a baby universe out of nothing through quantum tunneling. Now, the one thing you always ask people like that is, okay, but who created the aliens that created the universe that you're talking about?
And what universe did they do it in?
And what universe were they in? Yeah, see, that old thing just doesn't work. It's called a fairy tale for grown-ups.
Once upon a time, there was nothing. That's right. Nothing. And it exploded.
So you can watch that. It's online. Rumble.com on our website. You can find it. But don't miss the point. The world is being prepped for Revelation 12. That's the big picture. It's bad enough that how stupid it is, and it's not scientific. They're calling things science when it's nonsense. But the point is that with all this alien stuff you're seeing and all the alien movies and all the alien documentaries and all this stuff, now you got it in the universities and graduate schools and everything. They're prepping for what will happen in Revelation 12. Revelation 12:3 says, "And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and had cast them to the earth." Now, that's a reference to angels, the stars of heaven. Go back to Job for one clear explanation that the stars, in this context, is referring to angels. Now, how many of you have heard, by the way, that you've been taught that when Lucifer fell, Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28, that he drew a third of the angels with him? The Bible never says that. John Milton wrote that. And in, what's it called, Paradise Lost. Didn't come from the Bible. But he did it, he wrote that because he was amillennial or postmillennial. And they take Revelation 12 and put it in the past. But if you followed in our Revelation studies, we explain why that's just not the case. There have been angels fall. There could be an angel fall today. There could be angels fall tomorrow. According to the Bible never says that there was some point in time where angels fell and there'll be no more angels fall until the end. The Bible never says that. Those are assumptions based on things that people sometimes say even when they're teaching in the pulpit. But they're not based on the Bible. But according to the Bible, angels we know fell from the very beginning when Adam and Eve were in the garden. Lucifer was not alone at that time. Then there's angels that fell during what precipitated the flood. What precipitated the flood? Precipitation, water, get it. Some of you. What precipitated the flood was that angels, the sons of God, came into the daughters of men. Now, you have some of these guys who teach, oh, the sons of God, that was the godly line of Seth. Well, first of all, they were so godly, God killed them all. So that doesn't float. We're just going to stay with this. That doesn't float. Or it doesn't hold water. Which I, because if they were so godly, God wouldn't have killed them all, right? The other thing is, they said they were unequally yoked. How many unequally yoked couples give birth to giants? Other than Jenny and her husband. Yeah. So that's my point, is just, I get to where I would love to be able to recommend all kinds of preachers and commentaries and things, but it is really maddening. It's getting really bad as we get further and further along. That, you know, the stuff that people teach, all you have to do is, what does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? Take it in context, leave it in context. What does the Bible say? And that solves most of our problems. So we recommend the following. A 2004 documentary that is just as good as, like, it came off the presses last week. The UFO Conspiracy. Go to rumble.com and search the UFO Conspiracy documentary. And it's free of charge. I'm supposing that it's up there legally. But that's how I found it online. We have a copy rented out in our video library. We also have a message that has almost 10,000 downloads. We put this up. It's been 13 years we put this online, called The Tribulation UFO Alien Invasion. It's also been viewed about 100,000 times on YouTube, where two or three other people took the audio and put pictures and things to it and made it a video. So it's been viewed and listened to probably 250,000 times, heading towards that. And there's two parts to that, where we explain the whole UFO phenomenon in light of Bible prophecy. So we refer you to those sources. The former and latter rains. We've already gone through these verses, and back in verse 7, I was going to hit on these things, and we just, for time's sake, I delayed it a week. James 5, 7. Go ahead and read that if you're there with me. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waited for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he received the early and latter rain. Amen? Until he received the early and latter rain. We ran out of time in our last day, as I just said, to look at the former and latter rains. Hint, the charismatic teaching on this is complete hogwash. Just want to start there. How many of you heard, since the 60s anyway, the latter rain movement? You heard of that?
No.
Latter rain movement and various versions of it is that a bunch of people getting together in large crowds and speaking in tongues and carrying on is a revival, and that it's a fulfillment of Bible prophecy. First of all, that's not a revival, and second of all, it's not a fulfillment of Bible prophecy, except that the Bible says in the last days there'll be a great falling away. And in that latter rain movement were a bunch of unsaved Roman Catholics, unsaved Mormons, unsaved from various backgrounds, never even born again, getting involved in these big meetings and and all that. Doesn't have anything to do with God, doesn't have anything to do with revival, but it does have to do with the ecumenical apostasy of the end times. So verse 7 there is telling us that Jesus, who is the husbandman, has his plan and will get a full harvest. And that's what the former and latter rains are all about. I'll say this too, you know, from time to time there's things that I'll teach it, and I'm just telling you, I believe that what you're going to hear tonight is just what the Bible says in context. There are others that I respect to take a different view of these things, but I've read their stuff, and it just didn't make any sense to me at all. So we're just going to do a little Bible study tonight. and answer the question, what is the former and latter rain? It's a good question, right? Amen? John Wesley gives us the basic truth in one nugget here. The former rain immediately after sowing, and the latter before the harvest. And I just want to quote that because it's just very good. It gives you an idea. There's a former rain and a latter rain. And I'm going to say this just so you'll hear this probably two or three times, but it's just a summary of it is that I believe that at the Pentecost and throughout the apostolic age, the Holy Spirit was poured out in measure, and I believe was the former rain. And then there's coming a time, a latter rain, but it's not the charismatic movement of this day, and it's not happening right now. So keep that in mind as we continue to move on. Well, you know what? I forgot I put this in here. So I'm going to say what I just said. Apostolic former rain produced the seed-sowing church age. See, what you have in the book of Acts was the former rain that is since then being us doing the work of sowing seed by preaching the gospel and teaching the word of God. We're seed sowers. And J. Vernon McGee made a really good point because a lot of times I'll quote it too. When Jesus said, you know, the fields are white unto harvest, pray that the Lord will send forth workers because the harvest is plenteous, but the workers are few. And I agree with J. Vernon McGee, even though I'll probably still quote that from time to time out of context because it's a habit. But that was referring to, well, when the Bible talks about harvest, you got to be real careful about that because a lot of times it's not a good thing. It's talking about a harvest like what we're going to see in the book of Revelation when we studied it. At the end, we'll see it in a minute. In the end, there's a harvest that's unto death. And so I had to throw that in there. But the 144,000 will be the latter rain, and they'll produce the harvest in the tribulation, and it's a good and bad thing. We'll see. So how do you find out what the Bible's teaching? The best commentary on the Bible is?
Bible.
So we go scripture with scripture. The former rain was Pentecost through the apostolic age. Former rain is what that's called. Look over in Acts chapter 2. And you know where we're going. Pentecost. While you turn there, I just want to tell you, Pentecost is not a denomination. It is a feast. The feast of Pentecost. And you're supposed to count down after the Feast of Unleavened Bread ended. You'd count down 50 days, and then it'd be Pentecost. And it just happened to be on that feast that then God poured out His Holy Spirit originally on the Christians in the church age. So look at chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come. See, it's a feast they're observing. They were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And then verse 4 then says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. These were real languages. They weren't just a prayer language and speaking gibberish and claiming that it was a heavenly language and all that kind of thing. They were speaking in real languages. Now, jump down to verse 14 through 21. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. This is Joel chapter 2. We're going to read that in just a minute. And it was... as Peter says, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And a lot of guys in their zeal to get away from the charismatic interpretation of Joel 2 And they'll say, this doesn't have anything to do with Joel. That's not what he says. He says, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. But as you continue reading, you'll see it's not a full fulfillment. And we'll see it in a minute. But Joel says that when his prophecy is fully fulfilled, the sun will be darkened. The moon will turn to blood. The day of the Lord commences. And that didn't happen on the day of Pentecost. So he continues and says, it shall come to pass in the last day. See, Peter is saying, this is what Joel's talking about, but the full fulfillment is in the last days. It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. When you see all that happen, this that's happening today is part of that. Why? Because this is the former, that'll be the latter. Verse 18, and on my servants and on my handmaids I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood. None of this happened at Pentecost. Isn't it amazing how the people who act like this is a full fulfillment when these things that he's reading right here on the day of Pentecost didn't happen on the day of Pentecost. It says, before that great and notable day of the Lord. Read verse 21. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So, you have my thing to work there. This was a partial fulfillment and only the former reign. Which, again, in Joel 2, you'll see it's referred to. Joel makes clear that the final fulfillment ends with what?
Armageddon.
So the former we identify with Pentecost and the apostolic age, which then produced the seed sowing of, it's like when you get rain and you plant your seed and then there's the entire summer. This year was a good year because we love when they plant corn next to our house. And they plant the seed and the corn grows. This year was soybeans. And so next year is going to, we have a natural fence. And the people driving up and down our road can't see us until they get right to our house. And we love that. But then there comes a time where they mow it all down and get their corn. But there's months where the stuff just grows and grows and grows. And that's where we are now. We're in that corn harvest, and there are more weeds than there are corn, it seems like, these days. But the harvest is yet to come. Look at Joel 2. This is where Peter was quoting. Joel 2, 28. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Didn't we just read that? Because Peter is pointing us here to tell us, and I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I'm going to come down to verse 32. It says, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that's where Peter stops. Joel goes on and says, for in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance. Because Peter isn't talking about that. Joel is telling you about Armageddon. Peter stops because Pentecost is not the full fulfillment of Joel 2. And Jesus will do that many times. But right there is another case where after we're delivered, there's a colon or a semicolon. And that represents the church age, those two dots. Before those two dots is the beginning of the church age at Pentecost. The second, or after those two dots, is yet to come. We've been waiting for a couple thousand years now. Do you want to say something?
Yes, the book of Acts, you said, is what you call it, a half of a fulfillment?
Partial. Yeah. It's the beginning. And we'll see that as we continue here in chapter 3, look what it says, verse 1. Says, for behold, in those days and in that time when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem. That's been in effect since about 1880. Really in earnest in 1948. Verse 2. I will also gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat. This is Armageddon. And will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations. And what? And that's what we were talking about, the Biden administration and the whole current events update. We were discussing that. And it says, and they have cast lots for my people and have given a boy for an harlot and sold a girl for wine that they might drink and so forth. And that, we don't have time to read the whole thing, but this is the Valley of Jehoshaphat bringing all nations together as Armageddon. So you see that Peter is telling you that up until the middle of verse 32 was what Joel was speaking of beginning at the day of Pentecost. And now that former rain produced what is taking place and has been taking place for 2,000 years. And then there's coming a last.